We at Sci-Fi Party Line are very sorry to hear about the passing of Andrew Koenig. We wish Walter Koenig and the family the best in this great time of sorrow.
Sci-Fi Party Line.
Another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today's guest is Carl from RobotCast.
What's happening, Kat?
Look at you. You was right on it. I was like, blah, blah, blah. I am great. Today's episode, we're going to talk about Smallville, Caprica, and maybe some other stuff. I want to get into Smallville. I haven't talked about Smallville on the podcast in a very long time, if at all. I'm not sure. But something recently happened that got me, I guess, excited about Smallville again. And it was the movie, the TV movie that just recently happened, Carl. Let's talk a bit briefly about that. Do you know how that came about or why they did it at all?
That's a very good question. I really don't know. I was surprised. I was expecting my regular episode, and then they busted out with the epic one, which I think was really, really good. I've been watching Smallville from the beginning, and I very much like the early seasons. I like the old producers, and it had a certain subtle elegance to it from the beginning. And then about the time that Lex Luthor left, there was a change in direction, and let me tell you, Smallville, little hard to watch in there. But see, look, now, you know about me, and loyalty, right? So I was hanging in the episode. I was like, oh, I can't believe they brought this back. Oh, that effect did not work there. Oh, this is like a, I leaned in. I was holding by the lapels and trying to hang in there. I'm telling you, just about the time that I was about to say, okay, that I can't do this anymore. They finally came out with this movie, and I was really shocked. Now, the cool thing about the movie is it has a really different feel from you know what the series had been before, and from the you know sort of weak medium time, you know, it had a totally different feel from.
So they wasn't building up to the movie; it just kind of bam and happened, and that was it. Or was that called? Destructor, or what was the movie called? I forgot. Defender, something with the big. I don't know. We'll Google it.
Not that I recall. You would think that there would have been a greater buildup. It all felt episodic before it, in neatly, you know, self-contained episodes. There wasn't much of an arc leading to it. The other thing is, Smallville does a great job of adhering to, you know, for the most part, the Superman comic book storyline. So sometimes I'll watch an episode, and because I know some of the history it'll feed right into that, and I can't remember if they addressed it in the series or if I'm just remembering it from the comic book history. Because, okay, now, you know I love Justice League. You know I love the old Warner Brothers Justice League. Okay. And the craziness is a lot of the stuff that happened from the comic book, from the Justice League cartoon, merges very well in with Smallville. You know, the John Jones character.
Oh, I liked him.
Oh, he's
in
awesome.
The movie. It was called Absolute Justice, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, John Jones, a lot of the stuff that you see, even the crazy Wonder Twins. They even brought the Wonder Twins in on Smallville.
When was that?
Yeah,
well, it must have been after I stopped watching.
You've been slacking, so you missed it. Not saying that was the best episode they've had, but it was fun that, you know, they delved back into the history and brought these characters in a way that was kind of up to date. It was a little bit modern, and it was still interesting. So all along, I've been watching Smallville from the beginning. I've been a really big fan. And now that they have taken this new turn, I'm not going to say they've re-energized the series, But it, you can tell.
You don't think they did? Because I've been watching it since Absolute Justice, and I think last week's episode was a little weak in places, but the bringing Zod back to life kind of made up for it.
Well, yeah, and that was, I felt that was coming. You know, you and I were texting during it, and I was like,
I didn't know, because I'm like, who the hell is Zod? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, I mean, but do you remember Zod from the movies? You remember
sort of. I mean, the Phantom Zone and the crazy triangle mirrors flipping through the air with the people mouthing words, you can't hear them, and that is Phantom Zone and Zod, right?
Yeah. If you go back and watch Superman 2, all of this stuff starts to come back to you. I mean, assuming you don't want
to. Yeah, I need to watch those again. Those were fun. I remember the Richard Pryor one. And...
Oh, no. I did not say watch the Richard Pryor one. I said Superman 2.
I don't know which one is that. Was that 3 or something?
Yeah, I think, what, 4? No, I think Richard Pryor was 4. Anyway, you only need to watch 1 and 2. After okay. 1 and 2... Things starting to go off the rails, but I've always been a big fan of Superman. I've liked the series, and you know, you're gonna be tearing up when you see, you know, the classic Superman from the 70s and the 80s. You know, you're gonna be missed.
Maybe but, they'll seem lame or something. I don't know.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I mean,
well, you're a fanboy. How can I really listen to you?
Because I told you only 2 out of all of them. If I was a real fanboy, I'd be like, oh, they were all the best, and Superman's
okay,
great.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm selective. I'm selective.
Really? Okay.
Oh, I'll let you roll. Don't you start.
Heroes.
Don't you start, old fickle fan that you are. Back to Smallville.
Let me tell you where I stopped. I stopped right before Professor Milton Fine was discovered as Brainiac. I never saw him become Brainiac. I never saw him do evil. I just saw the like right up to the point where he and Clark met, and that had to be in season 5 or so. God. I'm not sure.
You know, I don't even remember the season numbers. They just kind of okay. Well,
so you remember that? So yeah. That's where I am. So I went on Wiki, and I noticed that I missed Phantom Zone, most of that, Fortress of Solitude, the Justice League, Martha Kent going to Washington, Jimmy Olsen, and the engagement.
Yeah.
Supergirl, yeah. I missed her. I missed Lana leaving. Season 7 should have been a great season because you know how I felt about her.
Yeah.
Because she left in season 7.
Yeah. Well, but see, here's the problem. Smallville early on really had a good sense of story arc. It had a sense of subtlety about it that was really, it was really professional. It was very...
I don't know. That's the problem smart. I had with it. I wanted him to fly. I wanted him to put on a costume. I think they were like... You know, doing too much foreplay and not enough action, as it were.
That's one of the things I liked about it. I don't know why they chose not to have him fly. That has been something consistent throughout the series. I don't know why that is, and I guess it's sort of like the equivalent of a romantic comedy where you know when they get together. That it's the end of the series, or the series is going to fall apart when Maddie and David get together, or whatever. Maybe
you have more experience, sir, with that stuff than I do. I don't.
What are you talking about? You don't watch.
I don't watch romantic comedies. I'm not that woman.
Okay. Well, any sort of show, movie, episode that's got a.
Let's go Mulder and Scully.
There you go. You know, okay. Any sort of this sensual tension between the two leads. It's like the instant that they finally get together. Then the series kind of falls apart, and people
not
are like,
for
oh.
me. It's when the baby comes.
Oh no, that is way past the shark. At that point, if there's a baby involved, no, you are the only one watching at that point. I promise you. So maybe that's what they're thinking. And if you keep that in mind, I mean,
he flew a couple of times, yeah.
Well, he was possessed, and he was,
he'd
been on, like,
red
kryptonite and all kinds of other stuff had happened to him. It wasn't Clark just flying. It was always he'd been possessed.
Well, Zod flew.
Well, yeah, no, we're not talking about anybody else. We're only talking about Clark is flying. You know, other other Kryptonians and aliens, they all fly, which makes it really quite funny because, you know, you got Superman and he's got always got to take the bus to wherever the bad guys are. Because they, you know, they will fly.
Doesn't he run fast? Doesn't he run fast?
I'm teasing. Yeah, yeah, I'm good. He runs fast. And he jumps too. He jumps too. So.
I don't understand with this. I mean, he sees their stuff. He has a super breath or whatever and the super armpit. And I don't.
It seems to be a plot choice because they wanted to accentuate storyline and character, and they wanted to give Superman some limit. I mean, this is my guess is why it was.
I hope so. It's just ridiculous.
Well, at this point, because they are starting to go in a different direction. The early seasons, all the beginnings, again, it was very character-driven. It had he's going to be Superman and the Superman coming of age and all of that. So the like I said, I can't think of another word other than subtlety because everything was hinted at. He used to wear the red and blue clothes.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, all of that kind of stuff was it was fun to watch, and it was a teaser, and you were like, oh, this is going to take. We know where this is going, or we know who this person's going to be. All of that was great, and it was done so well in the earlier part of the season.
It was actually a different show because he was in high school, and it was more of a high school show, and then I guess he partially did college, I don't know. And now he's working. He's an adult. This is an adult Clark Kent.
In Metropolis. He's in Metropolis.
Yeah.
So, and that's what worried me because it was about that time that he went to Metropolis. Lana was gone. Which, you know, whatever you thought about her, it was, you know.
Well, they said, and aligned with what you're saying, they said Alfred Goh and Miles Myler left in season 7, which is the time Lana left. And so I guess it would have a different feel.
You could feel it. You could feel it at that time. They
like, what was bad about it?
Oh, boy. it's kind of hard to get into. The thing is, like I said, all right, I'm going to say it again. The earlier seasons had this sort of smooth subtlety about it. Things were hinting. They were very well put together. When he got to Metropolis and when those guys left, things got a little heavy-handed and cartoony. Things were a little bit more exaggerated. The dialogue wasn't as smooth. The bad guy. Oh, the cool thing about earlier seasons of Smallville is whenever they had a bad guy show up, you kind of knew what made him bad. You know, you could relate to the bad guys because it was like, oh, you know, he's had a hard childhood. It wasn't that, oh, he's just been exposed to meteor rock and that made him bad. They really delved into what it was that turned them evil. You got to know them during the episode a little
bit. Maybe it was more scientific?
But no, it was
well, scientific better. In the realm of Smallville.
I'm just saying it was more developed. I'm talking about the character,
okay.
You know, the character development and how these people came about. All that stuff was smoother. You really could feel the interaction of people. And maybe that was a criticism of some of the earlier folks, just like you were saying that, oh, he doesn't fly. What's wrong with Superman? But that was one of the things that I like. Okay, now get
it. But it was a little too Dawson's Creek, though, too.
Well,
it was very heavy with that.
You had
maybe I should watch the later seasons because maybe, you know, I'm a mustache twirly type of lady who likes the over the top crap, so maybe, you know.
Yeah, but there was still certain elegance to it. Okay, so once those guys left and he was in Smallville and Lana was gone.
Hey.
Lois in the beginning, her character was a little
harsh,
a little bit, you know, exaggerated, a little bit unnatural. Okay, there's nothing wrong with a strong woman character, and we know that she's being, you know, Lois Lane, just like Margot Kidder from the old movie, very brash, but she was a little over the top there, and I don't know if that was the writing or her finding the character in Lois. It felt a little awkward, and then, you know, Clark was not, he felt a little out of the element, obviously, because he was in Metropolis, but even still, he didn't quite feel comfortable in the city, and we didn't know what was happening with Chloe, and then Lex left. It was just all of these things.
So how did he leave? Did he die?
Oh, not, they, that was the other thing. I totally didn't like the way that they, that Lex Luthor, quote, left the series. And it's hard because it wasn't even clean.
Just tell me, man. What happened?
I don't want to get into all of the details because I think you should see it. We can talk about.
I thought you said I should not torture myself and go back and.
Well, I'm saying not the whole series, not all of the series, but I guess you ought to see what happened to Lex. I'm going to say this. Lex disappears like 3 times is the problem, and you never know if he's gone or not. And so the last episode that we see, what's his name, Rosenbaum, Michael Rosenbaum?
Yeah.
Last time that we see him, the last episode that he's in, because I liked him a lot. He was a really good character. He was a great Lex, and in a lot of ways, he carried the series for me for a couple of seasons. I
like his dad a lot too.
You definitely need to see this because you see, there's an incident between Lex and Dad that really. So that was the last time we really get to see a Rosenbaum in it. But then there are these ghost episodes. And I'm not saying actual ghost, where it's like, well, is that him or not? And while I like conceptually the idea of bringing Mercer in, because Mercy, she was in the cartoon, she's in the comic book series, she had the potential to be a very interesting bad guy, you know, character. She just ain't doing it in the series. I don't know if it's the writing, if it's
Are you talking about the Tess chick?
Yes, Tess Mercer.
What is she doing? She's just not. I don't know. She's not doing it.
No, and I'm not sure why, really.
They need to, because the movie had what was the Foxy Brown?
Pam Grier.
Yes, Pam Grier. Wow, slap me.
She is in Justice League too, and let me tell you, Pam Grier looks a lot better than Super Oprah from Justice League, the cartoon series they had rocking.
Okay, what?
That's why you need to be watching Justice League. The Justice League fans are laughing because they know it was like bad Oprah is who she was on the show. I hope they bring her back because she is a serious.
They should have had her like the bad guy and replaced this Tess chick. I know Tess is the chick that, you know, she's hot and blah blah blah, but Pam Grier got the job done. I'm scared of her.
Tess was supposed to be linearly carrying on the thread of what Lex was. Everything that Lex was, Mercer was supposed to be Lex, but worse. And she totally wasn't. You know, she totally.
Maybe they need to bring a guy in or something, because she's not.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm not thinking that it needed to be a guy. I really believe that women can be far eviler. And I think that you could do that right. But
okay, you're right. I'll let you have that. Yeah.
No, come on now. Come on. All people know that when it's
on. You know what? You can stop. Just stop.
No.
I'll let you have it, but then you're going too far.
No, when it's on. When it's like a hot villainous, and you're like, I want her, but I know she's going to kill me. That's evil right there.
That's just you, buddy.
So you can make, you know, a woman be super evil, and I like it when it's well done. But it's like they keep cutting her off at the knees. They don't give her a chance to really.
Maybe they should bring like a blonde Russian in, Amazon blonde Russian. With the accent and everything. I love those type of bad women. they just know how to do it. German or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they do make rather good bad guys. But anyway, they kind of limped along with Tess for a while. And Lex was dead and he wasn't dead and they were not sure. And then some of the bad guys that they spun out were like, come on, don't bring this guy in. And I don't know what's going on with that. It just felt heavy-handed and cartoony. And the problem is, if you're not going to be character-driven, if you're not going to deal with all the subtleties of growing up with superpowers, or, you know, if you're not going to deal with that side of it, then you got to make sure your special effects are on point. You've got to be an action series, and the special effects have got to map that. Otherwise, you start to, you know, wander into the whole Lois and Clark realm where it's like, well, special effects don't even matter. You know, it's just costumes, wardrobe, and romance. And if that's where you want to go, that's another thing. So they were kind of flailing around in that realm. But I like that, that Green Arrow came in. Green Arrow's a really good mm-hmm. character. Yeah. He's probably one of my favorite of the... hello, I heard a little... down there. So he's probably one of my favorites of the new generation of characters that they've brought in. He does some really good stuff. And
he always has his shirt off.
Yeah, well, I hadn't noticed. So who knows what, why they do that? I don't understand at all. Television.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
So, yeah, so
at least they don't take showers as much as they used to in Smallville. You don't remember, like, second, third season, every other episode they were in the shower. It was just a shower. It was just like we had to watch Lana take a shower. We had to watch Chloe take a shower. We had to watch Clark take a shower. We had to watch guest stars take showers. And everybody was taking showers.
What did you see? Stuff would always happen to him in the shower, right? That they'd be in the shower like la la la, and then bam, that's when the bad guy would bust in. But they'd be in the shower like la la la, and then their iris would turn green, you know. And then you'd know, yes, it's coming. You're right. Yes,
showers, always, yeah. And then if they weren't in the shower, they were at Smallville Medical Center or some sense, you know. Jeez.
Yeah, and then they would discover there were spikes on your arm. You're right. I totally forgot the showers.
So about, you know, the cost, when did he start wearing a costume? Because I really enjoy this Superman costume, because I think before they didn't want to put him in a costume because nobody's going to walk around wearing tights, big, bright blue and red costume, and
especially
anything. Like, it looks lame.
The producer of the show now. So, you know, that's something you got to cut. Anytime you take control of the program, you get to do what you want. And I am certain that Tom Welling is like a, I'm not going to put on tights every. What do you? Can I have Superman in a T-shirt and some sweatpants? That's the Superman I want.
Well, no, he wore a trench coat and he wore a T-shirt that had an S on it. His insignia, or whatever. And I was like, that is so subtle and it works and it looks very cool. And he looks kind of edgy and a grown man, and he grew up. Yeah. Like, within the seasons that I didn't watch.
Yeah. Well, it was sudden. You know, some bad stuff happened to him, and that's really kind of what...
Yeah, what's this end-of-the-world thing that they keep yapping on about? And I'm like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
End-of-the-world thing? Like, what, did you watch the episode?
No!
Oh!
You don't even have to say it. I know.
You came in just... Okay, so you watched, literally, like, the one right after that. Or two episodes after that. Okay, so... What happens is there is this, oh man, see, do we want, all right, there is something like a future Justice League that comes back in time to try to, you know, keep Clark on the straight and narrow and to try to say, oh, look out for this and this bad stuff. They have a ring. And so the ring is a time traveling ring, and they come back and they talk to Clark. Talk to other, yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. I'm like, little heavy handed, a little cartoony. It was a little much. And basically, they come back in time to try to help Clark, and they get the crap beat out of him. And they kind of run home, but they leave a ring. They leave the ring here. I think they were supposed to have left it. Who they didn't leave it? I can't. They left the ring in the present, and it starts to fall in the wrong hands. And Tess almost gets it, and it ends up on Lois. Right? Lois ends up with the time travel ring, and she puts it on. And she picks it up, and she gets thrust into the dark future. That
will so Lois and not Chloe,
not Chloe.
So
not
she exactly. Doesn't remember this thing.
Well, hang on.
So, okay.
So it's a complicated because what happens is Lois ends up in the future, but Chloe gets a vision of what's happening. Like I said, I don't want to get all into it, but Chloe also sees this future because she comes into contact with Lois, and anyhow, Lois exists in this future. As, you know, present Lois, she sees all the stuff that's happening. She goes, oh, man, this is terrible. We gotta, you know, stop all of this. And like I said, I'm leaving out a lot, so don't do it. But she brings the message of what she sees in the future back to the present time, and she starts to do things to try to correct it. Now, unfortunately, Tess also gets a vision of this future. And she, of course, with her perspective, takes a different bent on it and says, oh, man, you know, if this is what's going to happen, we need to ally with the pseudo Kryptonians that will have the power.
Pseudo? How are they pseudo?
Because they are sort of like clones. Okay, you see that it is so complicated. I know it's so complicated. All happens. I mean, the stuff that I'm telling you about here, this insanity happens in about 4 episodes. All of this stuff, the pseudo Kryptonians, the clones, the future time travel. All of this stuff happens, really, in about 4 episodes.
This season it happened?
Yeah, I think that pretty much. I can't remember. Folks need to help me out. I can't remember when the time-traveling Justice League popped in. That may have been right at the end of the last season, the beginning of it. But that's the only arc. It's just we know that the time travel is possible. We know the future that they're from. And so the ring is their connection to the story that I'm telling you now. But so it's craziness. It's a lot of stuff happened, and I don't think it was done as smoothly as it could have been. This all of this stuff could have been spread out through an entire season in a way that would have been really interesting and teasing and smooth. But they
because the way you explained it, I mean, you usually are really good at explaining things, and you sound like a crazy man right now.
I know, and that's part of the problem because it was so stuff that happened in a sudden way. It was like I said, whenever they throw in, you know, time traveling apocalyptic future, and that's like an episode and a half, you start going, oh, here we go. Excuse me, I'm just saying.
I'm gonna hold you to that when we discuss something else.
We can go there. We can go there. But anyway, whenever they go with that, you're like, uh oh, look out. But they did it, like I said, in an episode. It was like an episode or two. And it was like, oh, it was internment camp. Just don't get me started. So with all of that, really, I was starting to go, okay, Smallville is starting to get a little bit crazy now. It's going a little bit off, jumping the shark here. But with the justice.
But wait, well, sorry to cut you off. Yeah. So this time travel and ring and all this is this in the comic books or is this just?
Yeah, I don't remember the time traveling Future Justice League kids as being in the comic book. They may have. I don't remember
some
that.
Some artistic license there.
Yeah, I mean, and now this may be pulled into some kind of alternate Earth thing, which they did with the comic book series. But I don't remember this. I don't remember it if it was. I think they may have just put their own special sauce in with the future kids. I don't remember that. But of course, you know, Zod. We know Zod. He's always been a very good bad guy from the series.
So, but you know what I like about him is that I keep like, oh, he's gonna turn around and they're gonna be friends and blah. So that's not gonna happen.
Oh, just, no, anybody knows Zod knows that.
Okay, well, you know, I'm just as a person like me watching and not knowing or whatever. They do a very good job of.
Yes,
tricking you into thinking like maybe he'll turn around one of these because they always used to do that with Lex. Like,
yeah.
Okay, Lex is really a good guy. He just has some bad things and he has a different perspective and blah blah blah. But there's no point of no doubt about it. Zod is just a bad guy.
That's why I liked the Lex from the Smallville series so much because he really did try. He was really trying a couple of times in there. He's like, you know what? Clark's my buddy, and everything's going to be good here in Smallville, and sure, I'm a billionaire, but we're just going to skip and hold hands together, and then bow, like his dad tricked him, and then like an alien, you know, bit him over once, and he's just like, oh what happened? He's like, oh, I was trying. I even threw him away. Come on, people. Yeah, no. Lex just had a hard time. That's because I can relate. I was like, Lex, he is trying. His turn to the bad, you know, during this series of Smallville was so fun. It was good to watch because you could understand. You're like, Lex, he's just, people have not given Lex a break here. Every time. He even got married. Lex had a wife.
To Lana?
Yeah, but come on, Lana. She was like, all right, everything's working out fine. I got everything.
No, she married him because she went crazy. And then they had a weird baby. I remember that. Or he was doing something. I don't.
She didn't know. Dad jacked that up. Remember?
Right.
Dad.
It was so Dad.
Lex was like, all right, everything is going great. And I got the woman of my dreams. Aha, I stuck in the car. Everything's going to be happy now. And then it all just fell apart. You know, that was just, oh, man. Lex has had a hard time. So that's what I'm talking about. If you're going to be bringing me some bad guys, give me some substance to the bad guys.
You say he just disappeared.
And yeah.
You tell me that nobody stabbed him. He didn't just burn up and fly. Well, nobody threw water on him.
There was an explosion, but, you know, you'll see.
I don't know what makes you think I'm going to watch that, dude.
I'll
track down the episode, and if they have it on WB.com, I'll
rewatch it. I will say this, though. The episode where Lex...
CW.
Where Lex and his dad have their final disagreement. That was some brilliance. I am telling you, that was pretty. So you ought to check that.
So what, did Lionel get stabbed? Was he dead? How did he die?
Oh, you're going to have to watch. Because people
did they die at the same time?
I'm going to have to watch. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh. We will move on because we have had a great time here. And we talk about some of the, the modern stuff. Let's talk about the...
Okay, well... One more thing about Smallville, it has been renewed for a 10th season, so it's going to be on as long as Stargate.
Cool.
So Stargate went 10 years, Smallville, surprisingly, and I don't know how, is going to be a 10-year show.
Why are you saying this? I'm telling you, in the beginning, there was some...
I watched it. Really, I watched the whole thing, even when I got mad when they killed Daddy Kent.
Yeah, that was harsh.
I stopped watching after that, and then something pulled me back in, and then I stopped watching at Brainiac, and then this particular Absolute Justice pulled me back. I mean, it had Michael Shanks. And has he been on the show at all before, or is this just
I think that was his first time. I don't remember him being
that
on
it. It was weird. He was like a little hawk, and he was gritty.
He was Hawkman. Hawkman. Yeah. Hawk people are rough. The Hawk folks are hardcore. Serious.
I want to see them again. I mean, it's like, they're just going to Pam Grier and Michael Shanks just going to be here for the movie, and that's it. They should be on there pulling up the show.
They totally need to bring Pam back. I like her character is a I'll say this. It's consistent with comic book. It's consistent with the comic book series, the cartoon. Remember, I'm saying you need reasonable bad guys that have some depth to them. She is pretty much a government. She's in charge of a government organization that looked up and said, "Dude, we got super people running loose on Earth. This is ridiculous. If they start getting upset." Or if they band together and cause them, we're going to have a problem here on Earth. So she's in charge of a government organization that's basically kind of keeping an eye on what the superheroes are doing. And, well, they're kind of aggressive about it. They come up with weapons and technology to say, look, you know, you guys are getting a little bit crazy. You need to adhere to the will of the governments of this planet. And we're going to watch you, and we're going to keep you guys straight. She's in charge of that group. So, and if you think about it, isn't that a reasonable – when I say, you know, you need bad guys
it sounds reasonable to me.
It's totally reasonable. And, you know, okay, I don't want to give stuff away or whatever, but you see where Chloe is going with this latest
episode? Yes, that's exactly what I thought in my mind when you were talking about that, when she had all the Kryptonian weapons.
That, you know, it would make total sense for her to start to head toward the direction of this organization. And I can't – now I'm a bad fan because I can't remember what the group is called. It's like Flag or something. You know, it's something all big and governmental. But they're the organization that – it's like she's building the weaponry for what these guys are going to need in the future. So I bet you Chloe is going to, you know, make a turn or something's going to happen where she's going to share tech with them. But anyway,
Chloe is not in the comic book. She is a TV show character, right?
Yeah, I don't remember her at all anywhere else.
So I like that because she's like, to me, it's like this whole entire show is about her. Really,
yeah.
She's the star of the show, in my opinion.
She's like, come out of the box, yes.
I don't know. She's just really grown and really – I just really enjoy her character and how she is with, like, the outside. She's us, the viewer, kind of.
That's right.
So I really
That's
like that.
Because, right. You know, she did not fall prey to the typical sidekick death.
we are back here with Carl, and the next topic we're going to discuss is Caprica.
Caprica! Cat! Caprica!
This is turning out to be a brilliant show.
I don't even know what to say. You know, how long has it been since there has been a sci-fi show where it's good? It's actually good.
This really reminds me of Deep Space Nine, how I used to feel when I watched Deep Space Nine. It has that, whatever I loved about that show, in Babylon 5, it has that special whatever.
It is masterful, I have got to say. I remember my concerns where I was like, oh, I'm afraid they're going to delve all into the, you know, the human side of this, move away from the technology. They have, one, made sure to include technology in a real way in each episode. But two, look at the social stuff that they're doing. It is totally interesting. It is absolutely interesting. I am caring about the race, you know, the different races they've got going on. I love the mob stuff. I just love the city. You know, every time they do a little panorama.
And then the virtual world, it gives you more of the city.
The VR is awesome. The VR is so well done, and it's so hard. Like I said, we've been so used to ragging on stuff and watching something and being disappointed and trying to look around the crap to try to find something that's enjoyable.
You don't have to do that here.
I'm in shock. I don't even know what to do. It is really, really impressive what they've been able to pull off.
Some shackles have been released from their shackles, and they are allowed to just do stuff. And this is just an astonishing thing. Are the ratings good? I don't know. I like it, and now I'm scared.
There you go. That's the right question to be asking. I haven't even checked to see what the ratings are. And whenever you like a good sci-fi series, begin to worry. You know, let the fear ensue, because it always seems that when they got a series, they got stuff going great, that for one reason or another, things just start to fly off. But look, I don't even want to think about that right now.
Because I was like, I'm trying to find the cracks. I'm trying to find something that's not believable in the story. Trying to, you know, find something that, oh, I'm going to hate that. Oh, I'm offended by that. Oh, what is it? Let me nitpick. I'm not finding that. So I have to, like, back out of the story and look at reality and, like, okay.
We have to complete, other than the series. Now we got to figure out what's wrong with it, right?
It's something. Somebody's going to take this. Is too good. It's too right. Somebody's going to take it away.
Yeah. Well, you're probably right. I don't know what yet, though. Can't we just enjoy the series a little longer?
I am enjoying it, but I'm just saying.
One thing that I think is fun, and I mentioned it the last time we talked about Caprica, is when you watch it, you can see the influence of a bunch of other sci-fi shows in it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is unrelenting, though. Now, it's not heavy-handed and blatant like in Stargate, where Stargate they rip off whole episodes. Did you see? It's like, oh, race, it sucks when they did it in Voyager.
Day.
You know, it was blatant when they would rip off this stuff. But it's so smooth, and it's new when they bring it in. I was watching the big episode last night, the quote Matrix episode of Caprica last night. And there was it was Max Headroom. It was 13th Floor. It was Sin City. It was Sky Commander.
It was
all of this stuff, and it's just little pieces of it mixed together in a way that felt new, that made it in a way that was fun to watch. It was so because you're always wondering, well, okay, if they're doing a sci-fi series, you watch the budget limitations, right? You're like, okay, well, how are they going to pull off virtual reality every week? Well, they're going to make the background green, and then we'll know it's the VR. The super lighting that they've done, and
yes,
the sets that they've picked, and the costumes. Oh, you were right.
You know I was drooling over those costumes and the hairstyles, and just everything looked like it was old school, but it's modern at the same time, which I love when costuming does that. It was just so beautiful. I have to watch it again, and I haven't had a chance to. But, I mean, everything from the opening thing, there's something Airlock Alpha post on Twitter that there was something different about this week's opening theme to Caprica, and I thought it was the addition of the grandma in the cemetery. with Adama. So I'm not sure if that's it or not. So we'll have to watch the opening thing and see. But, I mean, it is just a complete, fleshed out, full, you can suspend reality and not have that little feel in the back like, oh my God, that is just so, you know, it's just everything.
And see, we're so excited. You and I are still talking about, you know, last night's episode. We watched it just last night. But don't forget, you know, the mom almost dying. Man, that mess had me on the air. I was messed up. When mom was in trouble, I was like, oh, are they going to? And the beautiful thing is, you know about the Galactica crew, they'll kill a person in a moment. You know?
I know.
They'll knock off kids and women. It's just so. I had no idea if mom was going to make it through.
I know. I thought she was a goner. I would put money down that she was a goner. Yeah. I mean, I was firm in my belief that she was going to die.
Because, you know, if she died, that would be a justification for, you know, Greystone to go bad or, you know, just to embrace. So I had no idea what they were going to do with that. And so the fact that she made it, you know, they gave her a hero moment and she survived to, because she came on that show and saved that interview. It was just.
Oh, yes. She sure did. That was going bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was really messing up there. But I mean, like you said, they treat each element of the story with such respect. The talk show host is a real character. You know, you watch him. You've seen that guy before. Just with the little bit that we've seen this year, can't you feel him? You know who this guy is. We've seen him.
He's like Jon Stewart mixed with somebody else, like Leno or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but evil though. He's not. You know.
You think he's evil? Like I think he's just doing his job.
Well, he's tabloidy. He's tabloidy.
Yeah,
That's never a good thing. So it's each character that they bring in. Oh, and Grandma is hard.
What?
Grandma.
Oh my goodness! That grandmother is just.
Oh, me.
I'm scared of her.
Telling you, but she is the Dawn. I do not want to mess with Grandma.
I would kill her in a second. It would make me feel good if she would die. Oh. What? Are you kidding me? You're supposed to be knitting a doily and baking cookies and stuff. Are you talking about capping folks?
She would make a cookie out of a human hand. Grandma is no joke in that kitchen. That's a cleaver.
Oh, you know what I really enjoy? That the big mobster stabbing guy, tattooed guy, is gay.
How about that?
That is just so brilliant. I enjoy that so much because it's perfect to me.
And, you know, they don't make it, you know, blatant and showy or anything. That is just who he is, and it fits right.
He's a Captain Jack type of gay where, you know, I'm gay. I don't have to be a cartoon gay person.
I respect that,
and I love that.
He's a person. It's awesome. It is awesome. So, oh, man. But think, I mean, some of the other things. Think about this now. We are talking about Adama's sister is one of the Cylon precursors. I mean, you see what – I mean, just little things like that. That you got to go, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. Because we don't know what these AIs are going to become. And I mean, in terms of their specific identities, you know, how they become the Cylon 12 that we know in the future. But look, we got Adama's sister running around with Greystone's kid here. This is very.
But do you know what? And you bring up that we don't know how they got to be, you know, where they were with the Cylons and the war. But we kind of see the beginnings of it because when Greystone walks into the meeting and he tells, well, these, you know, you can work them to death. They're not going to cry. They're not going to die. You don't have to pay them this. Rip off your arm. I was like, that's the beginning right there.
Didn't you feel that this here is a man? Data, we are talking about a race, enslaving a race. Engage number one. I was like, oh, here we go. There's a man. But yes, you're right. The first, you're breeding, you're creating a slave race. Yeah, that never bodes well. I'm just put that right out there to start. But the other thing is, when Greystone walked in there with the Cylon. Now, you're talking about a board meeting. He goes in there, and you hear that slunk.
I got goosebumps because I thought he had an army. It sounded like four of them coming in. I was like, somebody about to get shot.
You have 15 seconds to comply. And I was I was totally getting the Ed 209 vibe right in there with it. You know, that is your boardroom meeting. But no, you know, he actually sold it to him. He didn't, you know, mow down the crew. But that was so powerful. That was so well done, and I was just cheering. I was cheering with that moment because, you know, they were trying to take his company. Come on, man, you got to keep your stuff.
It just seems like they have a lot of material that they can work with, and they are not bored. Do you think maybe they got bored with Galactica?
I'm trying to figure out. I assume the majority of these people did work on Galactica. How was Galactica so cramped and sterile and small?
They had to feel shackled some way. Because we're on space. We can't. Because, I mean, I guess you could have gotten the, you know, what they did with the Tauron funeral or whatever, because that was so weird. You didn't know what they were doing. It was kind of unlike any race or culture that you've ever seen. It was really unique to me. I mean, maybe it parallels to some culture. I don't know. But
we still knew what was going on.
We still knew it was a funeral. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was kind of gypsy-like.
I don't know,
because I don't really know gypsy culture. But this, the token for passage for the death, that's something we've seen before.
Sure.
But it was still new. You know, it was still, oh, okay, somebody else knows. I don't know.
So,
I still liked it.
But I mean, that's what's confusing, though, because so much of what we really like about Caprica is not the effects, it's not just the costume.
No, speak but it for yourself, is the, young man.
It's not just the effects, not just the costume, but it is the development of these characters, the cultures and the things that we're experiencing. This stuff was in Galactica. We could have met these people. We could have experienced.
They tried it, but it fell flat. Remember, because I think they introduced the Taurons, and they were like, "Well, we don't want to help this," because wasn't Dee a Tauron or something like that? And
but we didn't learn anything about them. I mean,
we just know that they were dirty and we hated them.
Yeah,
or Capricorns hated them.
Yeah, what's making this interesting is the development. We get to see that it's clearly, they're agriculture. Oh, they haven't had a lot of money. They're struggling to try to compete in this world. You can see, you start to understand why the stratification is there, why they're perceived that way, what they're doing to deal with that. None of that really came out in Galactica. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Even though they were trapped inside a big battleship, the development of these characters, the history of this, still could have come out. So I don't understand why everything seems so much more open and light and free. Like I told you, with the pilot of Caprica, I was saying it felt so much more open than what we'd experienced with Galactica. So there are fans out there that truly love Galactica. I'm very curious to hear what their opinions of Caprica are, because again, you know, you and I, we weren't the biggest Galactica fans.
Understatement.
Well, you know. So what's come out with Capra? But I'm curious to see. You know, maybe it's because there was more of a focus on the military aspect of it.
Yeah, I was thinking they were tied by that and space, and it being too different from, say, Star Trek or any of the space shows. And it really broke out of that, but not in a good way.
And I guess there was the old Galactica crew, you know, the fans of the original series.
Oh, maybe that's what they were shackled by.
Yeah, well, I would hardly.
Well, not really. I
heard
Starbucks.
The theme once. I saw a Cylon, and there were the Vipers, and that was pretty much it from the original series. But so I don't know. But yes, Caprica is just so rich. It's so beautiful. It's so deep, and it really, at this point, it can go anywhere.
And I'm
enjoying this because I was concerned about them cutting back and forth between the Cylon robot and the girl. They even did that well.
Love that. He still don't know it's his daughter.
Not figuring that out. Right?
Oh, I can't wait till we figure that out. And I'm really glad that Adama now knows that his daughter is stuck in VR world.
Dad.
And if you're into that, like, I mean, there were so many parallels with like Second Life last night. Just because they had like a copy bot that'll copy, you know, I guess the skin and the shape of the guy, and to break into his his vault and steal his money. And, you know, it was just like typical bad behavior of a virtual world.
They even kicked the old Tron deresolution thing going on
there.
So that's what I mean. They're pulling little pieces from all of the series that we've seen before, but in a way that if you don't know it, it's new.
And it's not new. It's like kind of common knowledge now. That is what you're going to call it because that's what it is. It's deresing. Period.
Yeah.
You know, that it's we're in the future now. So that's just what we call it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that about it. And I really like some of the comments I heard on Twitter was, you know, for this to be futuristic, it is styled very old.
Yes.
There's the old VHS tapes that Monica brought this up. VHS tapes. I think they had regular film cameras. They do manipulation like old style police officers where, you know, you can get away with some of the stuff that they do here today.
Retro future is always beautiful.
I love retro
futurists. I keep quoting, you know, Max Headroom because that show was really ahead of its time, but it had the same kind of feel where there were typewriter keyboards, but connected to, you know, shared virtual environments. There was this trade-off of old, almost steam tech, you know, combined with, you know, people living in machines and, you know, shared computation and all of that stuff. You could feel it. And it was with old Max Headroom, it was sort of like because it was a society on the end. It was about to collapse. So things were falling into disrepair, kind of like on board the Galactica, you know. So they were from the future, but stuff was starting to come apart.
Yeah.
They are doing that with such respect. In Caprica, it's so beautiful, the world that they're creating. You know it's the future, and we all know that things are about to, you know, about to go. This is about to be the apocalyptic end.
Hey, but they're doing a good job of not making it feel like that.
Yep.
Because it still doesn't feel like, I mean, to totally jump topics here, what was with the big orgy in the morning with the teacher who's supposed to be...
Hey, that seemed perfectly fine to me.
Really, Carl? Really? Really? You're going to go with perfectly fine on that?
You know, Hottie Nunn is just, she is just off.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, that's her.
She's in there smoking hookahs. And
I am telling you, Nunn is
multiple sex partners. And big love in space.
Well, that's her culture, though. That, you know, it wasn't just a random thing. That's her family, quote, you know. Quote,
what planet were that? What planet is that?
Don't remember.
Gemini?
Yeah, okay, there you go. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, you know, you only have 12 you can go through because of the zodiac sign. But I think it was Gemini. So maybe on Gemini they're like a Mormon type. Huh?
Well, no, I was trying to figure out. Well, okay, I don't remember which planet it was. But yeah, so that was her family. That was her family going on there. So it wasn't just a spontaneous orgy. That was just sort of.
Well, yeah, okay, yes. I know it wasn't spontaneous. It's her culture, but I think that's interesting. I'm interested to know how that happened and how it worked and how they justify it.
Oh, I'm sure we will find out. We will get to see that in the future.
Because it's just like four people in bed. Hey, let's switch. You know.
And you asked me the question. I still don't know for sure. Was it black guy from Flash Gordon? It was a black guy from Flash Gordon. Because that dude has gotten the worst parts in all sci-fi history. If that was the same dude, and his first show is in an orgy on Caprica, that guy can't catch a break. And so I got to check the credits to see if it's the same guy.
Oh,
somebody,
God.
Please give that man a job.
It's like he got a pretty good job.
That's not the way to start. I can't believe it that was
I'm
him
blushing.
Coming back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I love this show, and I feel weird, like,
I know.
Having
I don't
a
know what
criticism.
To say. I
it's
don't
just
know what...
weird. It's like when Star Trek, the movie, came out, and you didn't have anything bad to say. Well, of course, I had a little nitpick, but other than that, you know, it was just like, wow, this is the best thing ever. This is how I feel, and it's Ron D. Moore, and I feel like I want to apologize to him and his hair. I don't...
He didn't have to do that. Well, I'm just so happy. I am. I'm looking for it. Again, how often is it that we look forward to sci-fi, you know, show coming on? Has it been a while where we were like, well, we know it's coming, Let's see. Let's hope
they
don't.
Are you just watching it out of loyalty to see how it ends?
Hope they don't. I hope screw it, just, up, it doesn't, you know,
get like that. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's gonna have like, okay, what was that? You know, I'm waiting on that episode.
Well, that's all right. That's because they gotta try things and they gotta, you know, test the waters. But just as long as they don't.
But it just seems so tight right now. Like, maybe next week's episode will be that episode, because it's going to be where the guy finds out that he stole his tech and blah, blah. We'll have to deal with all that crap. Maybe.
Well, it could be a fun Matrix chase. You know, who knows?
No, I don't know. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Thanks for listening. Find us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line. Visit us and comment on this show at scifipartyline.com. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 773-336-2686. That's right. Go ahead. Pick up your phone. 773-336-2686. And guess what? The next episode will be very, very special. It has to do something with Doctor Who. So see you next time. And we're closing the show with Ace Frehley. Outer Space. I don't know where the hell I found this song or where I got it from, but it's called Outer Space, so there you go.
You took a drink of my sweet love, and then the poison took. You hooked me up to your sick machine, and then I were one in a billion before the button was pushed. You should have stayed in the dirt, girl. It's like I told you.